Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Well, we're hearing an awful lot about China these days, right? Not just on the critical minerals thing and the tariffs and all that, the human trafficking, the fentanyl, how that country is related to a lot of things are the AI platforms that come out of China. America's been pushing back on that. So is Montana. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson joining us today. We'll put China on the plate as well as the country now dealing with, well, that number is just, it's gross in terms of how much we don't know about. Is it 11 million? Is it 20 million illegal aliens? And the process to righting that in terms of sending the illegal aliens back to the countries where they came from. We'll talk about that today and how the states can play a part. That for a Monday on Voices of Montana. Austin Knutson joins us now, Montana's Attorney General, lifelong Montanan, fifth generation. I don't even have it in front of me. Fifth generation. I know you grew up on that family farm in Culbertson, Montana State University. Got some Grizz blood in you, too, with your law degree there. How you doing, Attorney General?
I'm great, Tom. How are things down there?
I think we're all right. I think we're happy. It's spring, you know, when you get around to Monday and you're not buried in snow. There's a little bit of optimism with that. How about you?
You know, we woke up Sunday morning to about 3 inches of new, wet, slushy snow here in Helena. And that was kind of indicative of the mood here for the Montana legislature. But the sun's shining today. It's supposed to warm up this week. It's good. It's going to make legislators antsy and make them ready to go home. And it's going to be about that time.
Yeah, it is. I think they've got like maybe 18 days left or thereabouts. Now, you served in the legislature. As a matter of fact, you were a legislative leader, the youngest ever Speaker of the House at one point. I think that was in 2015 and reelected to that position in 2017. So, you know, the job is different now. You can't spend a ton of time peering in on everything that's going on in that legislature. But, you know, what are your initial thoughts? And then let's talk about what the DOJ from Montana is trying to get across.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still stay very involved in the Montana legislature. Just for your listeners' education, or maybe just some of them know this, but I don't think a lot of people do. I don't have just a big pile of money sitting around to run the Department of Justice. Every 2 years, I have to go to the Montana legislature. I have to go in front of the Appropriations Committee, and I have to ask for every dollar to run this agency, whether it's to pay Highway Patrol troopers or to, you know, pay the power bill for the buildings, vehicles for law enforcement, all those things go down the list. We have to fund those every 2 years. We spend a lot of time at the Montana legislature now. And just on top of that, I mean, obviously we've got bills that we're trying to run, statutes we're trying to create. You know, we're trying to strengthen sentencing laws for different crimes, shore up pension systems. A big one for me this session, Tom, I'm trying to get Highway Patrol troopers a pay raise. Highway Patrol troopers in Montana are just consistently the lowest paid law enforcement officers in the state. There's a couple reasons for that, and they're statutory, that they're in law, but that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to change. I'm happy to report that, House Bill 2 is not done yet. That's the state budget, but we've got a pretty good pay increase there for Montana Highway Patrol troopers if we can get that bill across the finish line unmolested. So, that's one of my really, really big priorities this session.
Well, let's go into that a little bit. In terms of, now we've talked about it too. It's hard to get them hired in places like Bozeman or Kalispell where the housing has just gone like crazy. There's businesses that have come up with some original ideas in that regard. You're a state agency, so you're going to be limited, in some of those new ideas, I suppose. Give us a sense of then why people still want to be, because you have an academy and you have brave Montana men and women who line up every year to be a part of law enforcement in Montana. Why do they do that, Austin?
Montana is a great place to be a law enforcement officer. I mean, just period, hard stop. We get a lot of law enforcement professionals from around the country who want to move to Montana because this is a state. I mean, I think back to my little hometown of Culbertson up there, you know, Bainville. It's very common for you to walk into the cafe in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and see a sheriff deputy sitting there. And you probably bought him a cup of coffee, you know, like known to the community. They've made themselves part of the town. People like having them around. And that carries through most of the state. I mean, this is a very, very much a back the blue state. People recognize that. The problem we've got is our cost of living has gone through the roof in the state. We're one of the fastest growing and highest cost of living states in the country, especially when you get over here in this crazy western half of the state. You know, I'm an eastern Montana kid. I'm not used to seeing home prices like this. But when you're trying to employ troopers in Gallatin County, which is absolutely exploding and just, you know, packed full of Californians, and good heavens, a lot of those folks don't know how to drive on our highways. And that's where we really need troopers. But you know, when I'm looking at the specter of I can pay a trooper, you know, mid $50,000 entry level, that doesn't cut it in Bozeman.
Yeah.
You are not moving your family to Bozeman and buying a house and paying for a mortgage on that kind of annual salary. I mean, that's the case in Missoula. That's the case in Kalispell. It's even the case here in Helena, unfortunately. Western Montana is just exploding, and there's a housing shortage, and prices are going up. But, you know, not just that. Groceries are up. Gas is higher. Everything's more expensive. We have to pay law enforcement commensurate to be able to live here. It's just that simple.
And is there... Are there programs that can pass muster? You talked about it being, you know, in law, some restrictions on that payment. You know, how does that work? But can you create stipends or anything of a? There's probably a temporary nature out there. What can you do if you've got kind of a critical situation?
Those get really tricky, Tom, because we're a union state, and that's really what it comes down to. We looked at doing stipend pay. We looked at doing some kind of cost of living allowance in Kalispell, in Gallatin County, Bozeman. We were able to do something temporarily, but what it came down to was the entire troopers union came in and they wanted that pay for everybody, even if they were living in Glendive. Well, that didn't make sense. Like that's not, we were having the housing crunch. That's not, we were having the need.
Yeah.
But that's really what this came down to, is that would have been a violation of collective bargaining agreements and our dealings with the troopers union.
Huh. Low wages, high cost of living. I mean, a lot of people are facing that. I talk to them every day, and they and I know the legislature is trying to address that. Austin Knutson is with us again, Montana's Attorney General. What is it, some 800 public servants in the DOJ, Austin?
Approximately, yeah. I tell people roughly 800. I think we're just shy of that, but that's a good round number.
And look at these divisions. And you were talking about, you know, every session you have to get in there and contend for the budgeting. And I just thought I'd copy these here because there's a lot of them. You have the Division of Criminal Investigation, the Forensic Science Division, Gambling Control, the Highway Patrol, the Law Enforcement Academy, the Motor Vehicle. And then you've got programs, the Sexual and Violent Offender Registry, the Missing Persons. It goes on here. You have affiliates, the Board of Crime Control. That's a ton, I think, to keep track of. Talk about funding. Talk about how are we funding law enforcement in the right way? I know the laws out there for enforcement and the craziness about trying to defund the police. That's out there and it kind of affects us, I suppose. But how are we doing with funding law enforcement to the efficiency of public safety?
Generally, we're doing well, Tom.
Okay.
You know, I'm a fiscal conservative. I make no bones about that. I've got the record to back that up. And, you know, I've been in those chairs. I've been in the legislature. I've been somebody who has to, you know, make a vote on a state budget. And we're under Republican control right now. We've got a conservative Republican governor. It's difficult to go in there and make these asks. But the way I look at it is law enforcement is a constitutional obligation that the state actually has to provide, right? There's lots of garbage that the state government does that I don't think we've got any business doing. But law and order, that one's constitutional. Yeah. That one's required. So, honestly, Tom, I don't know if we're ever going to have enough resources, and I'm using air quotes when I say that. Mm-hmm. Bad guys are always going to find ways to try to break the law. We're dealing with these gigantic Mexican drug cartels. They have infinite amounts of money, Tom. Dealing with them is very, very difficult because they are so huge and have such large resources. I mean, they're very wealthy organizations. So I don't know that we're ever going to have enough, but we've done very well in the last couple of years passing laws that have made things better. Our fentanyl seizures are down. You know, we can talk about that. You know, that things are moving in a good direction here in Montana. I want to make sure we can keep troopers employed. That's a big deal. Highway Patrol troopers are literally our top drug interdiction tool in Montana. Mm-hmm. Most of our drug seizures are coming from Highway Patrol troopers making stops on the highways and interdicting drug shipments. That's just a fact. We need our troopers. We need them paid commensurately with what's going on in the state, and we have to keep those folks around. We don't want them getting poached away by local agencies. All due respect to my local friends in the sheriff's department, police departments. They're great partners, and we work with them very, very well. But this is simple math. When a sheriff's office is paying $4, $5, $6 per hour more than the highway patrol, what's that highway patrol trooper likely to do to feed their family? They're going to take that higher paying job. I mean, this is not long division. So that's really the bottom line.
Hey, we'll talk about this upcoming here, the 4th annual Montana Law Enforcement Appreciation Poster Contest. This is for kids. There's an application deadline. I'll talk more about it. It goes through the month of April here. It's fun. And I don't know, but I remember being a youngster and a couple of times when law enforcement showed up, I was so happy to see them. I think it's great for these kinds of contests, for people to kind of, you know, examine, especially even at a younger age, you know, what law enforcement does for us. Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson is on the line today as we're talking with Austin. Grew up a rancher, ranching family out of the Culbertson area, and then also served as a district attorney, Roosevelt County, county attorney there, and then now is Montana's Attorney General as well. Austin, I appreciate you coming alongside here too in all those years of public service. I'll kind of get into that in a little bit. But Skip, Citizen Skip, listening in Hamilton, 866-627-5483. You can text a message here too at 781-627-5483. Got some questions, and good morning, Skip. You're on the air with Austin.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Tom. And Austin, good to hear you. I wanted to bring up a couple of things that I think you'd like to tell everybody about. And that's a couple of things in the legislature. First of all, could you give us an update on whether you're going to get your shooting range or not? Mm-hmm. And then also, I'm curious about intercommunication between different divisions of law enforcement. Like, I think you and your highway patrol have good relationship with the federal officers when it comes to especially the drug trafficking stuff. Is there any problems that you've been hearing about with other agencies, sheriffs or local police departments that are collisions between divisions? And then there was something else I wanted to tell you, and that was 3 weeks ago I was on a Zoom call with Judge Dan Wilson, and he said he was absolutely going to run again for the Supreme Court. I thought that was a wonderful thing. So I thought I'd drop those three seeds and see what you said. And thanks for doing a great job for us and getting ahead of all of our problems. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Skip. Appreciate that.
Hey, Skip, good to hear from you. Yeah, a couple things there. I'll try to hit them all. First of all, Judge Dan Wilson, I'm thrilled he's going to throw his hat back in the ring. I think he learned a lot in the last campaign. Just a solid constitutional, you know, obviously he can't run partisan, although I'm going to talk about that too. You know, the Montana legislature I'm afraid they're going to miss a really good opportunity here.
Yeah,
there was an opportunity to pass a partisan judges bill, not to mandate, but to allow judge candidates, judicial candidates in Montana to run, because they're all elected, allow them to run as whatever party they choose or not. I think that's going to be key this next cycle. The trial lawyers throw a lot of money into those judicial races, and without a John Tester race to suck up a lot of those left wing dollars, I'm afraid that Judge Wilson is going to be facing just a firewall of liberal trial lawyer cash thrown at whoever they run against him. That's an aside, but thrilled he's running again. If we can get him on the Montana Supreme Court, he'll be fantastic.
And I would encourage people to go to one of his places, or an event or whatever. If you don't know him, go and chat with him about this stuff. And I think you'll find out in a short while what Austin's talking about here in terms of a pretty solid Montana kind of guy, I think, when it comes to this judicial prudence.
Very down to earth, very approachable, just a normal person. But really the judicial temperament is what we need here. Mm. Judge Wilson's not an activist. He's not somebody who's going to look at the law and say, well, here's what I think it ought to be because I want to reach this result. He's going to look at the law and apply it as it is and as the legislature intended it. And I got to tell you, that might sound like normal and what judges should do. I got to tell you, doesn't always happen in the state, and especially does not always happen in the Montana Supreme Court. We need Dan Wilson on the court. Communication between agencies. Skip, great question. I mean, there's the technical logistics problem with just radios and different channels, different frequencies, different technologies. But I think you're asking more on the macro level. There's always a little bit of tension between, you know, a state agency or a federal agency and your local law enforcement, right? Because your highest elected law enforcement official is your county sheriff. Skip down there in the valley, that's Sheriff Holton. Sheriff Holton and I have a good relationship. We speak regularly. He's a great guy. He does a good job down there for the county. I don't have any authority over him. Like he's the boss down there. If you live in a bigger town where you've got city police, same thing. I've got no authority over a local police department. That behooves us to keep communications up, and we do that very, very well. On the federal side, things have obviously gotten much better with Donald Trump in the president's office. I mean, when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were in office, ICE would not talk to me. They would not talk to the locals. They were actively releasing criminals into our communities, into our state. We knew this, but they were under orders not to talk to us. That's been a complete pole change now. We're coordinating with them very well. We're working on jail space issues. Deportations are happening at an actual measurable rate in the state. So that communication is much, much better. Shooting range. I'm in charge of the Montana Law Enforcement Academy. We train roughly 200 approximately new law enforcement cadets, trainees every year, three classes a year. We don't own a firing range. And it's a huge logistical problem. We have to rent a small outdoor range from the city of Helena. The price keeps going up. Weather conditions are very often inclement. Last year, we turned out a class who had gotten about 2.5 days of live fire firearms training, and that's it. We are putting these people out on the streets and highways. Their single biggest liability is that firearm on their side. They have to know how to use it and be proficient with it. And just from a liability standpoint. So I'm horrified that we don't have a dedicated shooting range. These cadets need more trigger time. They need more live fire training. The more training we can give them, the better prepared and equipped they're going to be, and the safer they're going to be when we send them out in the community. So yes, we've asked the legislature for an appropriation to build an indoor shooting range at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy. Again, we don't own anything. Not even an outdoor range right now. This just makes sense. This is good government. It's good training. As a firearms guy, I was horrified to find out this is the conditions we're training law enforcement professionals in Montana. We can do much better, and we should. So, yep, it's still moving. It's not done yet, Skip. There's still some session to go, and that's in House Bill 5,
okay,
which is on the Senate side. So we're getting there.
And House Bill 5 is the one that carries a lot of the buildings and maintenance types of legislation as well, and the appropriations, main budget appropriations, House Bill 2. Anything else kind of getting over the finish line, or what are we tracking now?
You know, those are the big ones for me, the budget stuff. There's a handful of smaller issues that have come up, some things that I personally have thrown my name behind. Some law enforcement initiatives. We had a great bill about creating a new crime of grooming children. This one ties right in with my human trafficking issues. That's become a major focus of my administration. And what we see with a lot of these human traffickers, they're also master groomers. They engage in a lot of grooming activity, trying to normalize sexual behavior in young children. And it's disgusting. We don't have a statute right now where we can charge someone with grooming a child. We're not able to charge them until they actually commit the horrible felony against that child. Grooming is a criminal act in a lot of states, and it should be here as well. So that's a for instance. That's one I've thrown my weight behind, and luckily, I think that bill has passed. I think it's cleared both chambers, and I think it even got signed by the governor. So that was just a good law and order piece of legislation that made a lot of sense.
I'm going to look into that. I think you're right about that. I remember seeing and kind of reading more about it, but then I've lost track of that. And I find it difficult to define in a court sense what grooming is. Do you think they did a good job in that law?
I did. That language came directly from my prosecution bureau. Mm. These are the professionals. This is all they do. They travel around the state and they try child sex cases. These are the experts. It's my A team. From a lawyer standpoint, a legal language standpoint, yeah, they put together a really concise, locked down definition. I mean, because obviously there's some behavior that's not going to fall into this. We don't want people getting charged and prosecuted for something that's it's not intended to be.
Right.
This is intended and targeted at going at those predators who are actually engaging in this grooming behavior, trying to normalize sexual material and activity to minors. That's what this is aimed at, and they've done a good job.
Back on it here with Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson, a fifth-generation Montana, again, a long time here, served in the legislature, past Speaker of the House, served as Roosevelt County Attorney, northeastern Montana and Culbertson areas where he grew up, and his family still ranches over there. Austin, I appreciate your time here as Montana's Attorney General, duly elected to a second term, and a lot of things. I mean, law enforcement today is not the same, I think, as it was many years ago when we had, as you were kind of noting earlier, we knew the county sheriff, and we were having coffee with them, and maybe buying them a coffee every now and again. We like to keep it to that level as much as we can, but I think law enforcement has taken a whole new meaning with open borders and with fentanyl, with sex trafficking. And it seems like you have a lot of enemies out there that you're battling, Austin. So thank you for that.
It's not Mayberry anymore. Yeah. You know, I wish that it was still 1992, but it's not. We've got two of the biggest, nastiest Mexican drug cartels operating openly here in Montana. No one's making drugs domestically. No one's making illicit drugs here in Montana. This stuff is all being made south of the border by the cartels, and they're shipping it up here in huge amounts. I mean, the chessboard has changed, and we have to change with it. So we've been very aggressive about that since I've taken office, Tom. Honestly, that's the reason I ran. When I first ran for attorney general back in 2019, coming into the 2020 election, none of the other candidates were talking about crime. None of them were talking about drugs. I was the only one who had been a county attorney and had actually dealt with the problem on the Fort Peck Reservation. So anyway, I know of what I speak.
Yeah.
The good news. So every year we track all the various drug seizures and where our numbers are at. And for the last, since about 2020, fentanyl has just not just increased in Montana, it has skyrocketed. I mean, our seizures went from basically zero to just astronomical.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seized enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in Montana several times over. Okay. The good news, for the first time in about 4 years, fentanyl seizures are down between 2023 and 2024. Those numbers dropped, and didn't just drop a little bit. They dropped significantly. Mm. We're making a difference. I think there's a couple things at play there, but the big thing is we've seen an over 30% drop in our fentanyl seizures. Now, there's still a lot out there. Don't misunderstand me, but we are definitely moving the dial. That tells me the cartels have figured out they've got a pivot. We've got stronger sentencing. We're seizing their vehicles. We're seizing their cash. We're seizing they're seizing and destroying their drugs. The message is getting out there that fentanyl is not something you want to be slinging in Montana. That's the good news. Bad news is that all the other drugs are up. Our methamphetamine seizures are back up. Cocaine is up. Heroin is way up, primarily to one pretty significant bust. But you know, the really, really, really bad, dangerous fentanyl stuff that you and I talked about a lot. You know, knock on wood, we've made a difference. We are making a difference, and those numbers are down.
And I think that there's a pretty plain lesson to be learned here, right? For not only us listening, but the rest of the country when it comes to law enforcement. I'm saying that when you say you are going to enforce the law, that has an impact on crime. I just couldn't believe the direction that we were heading over those many years. I think we just looking the other way because, what, we didn't want to deal with this. I think a lot of that has changed, and I appreciate your intent on that. You are bringing a regional human trafficking conference, you know, to wit, you know, what you're saying here, to Bozeman here, April 28th through the 30th. What's this about, Austin?
This is a big deal. Yeah. So again, we've talked about this a lot. Human trafficking is happening in Montana. It is actually a very, very big issue in the state. A lot of people makes them uncomfortable. They don't want to talk about this issue, and certainly it can't be happening here in Montana. Mm-hmm. It is. It's happening in a big way. Well, there's a large market in this state for people who think they can get online and order illicit sex with a child. And there's just not a nice way for me to say that. So this has been a big priority of mine since I've taken office. We've hosted a number of these symposiums just at a state level. What we found, Tom, is that there's lots of people who want to fight human trafficking and who are fighting human trafficking in different ways, but they'd never, ever gotten together at an event and gotten in a room and seen how they could cooperate, how they can work together.
Wow.
It has never happened. So we've been doing that now for the last 3 years, but I'm going to give credit to my senior policy advisor, Alex Sturhan. He's a Columbia Falls native, worked for Congressman Zinke for a while, but Alex is one of my right-hand guys now, and he's really dove into this human trafficking world. It's ugly. And he's put together a now multi-state symposium that we are hosting in Bozeman at the end of the month, April 28th. I'm going to be down there. We're going to do a bunch of press and media around it, but it's going to be big. We've got sponsors. I want to thank the Canelli family, the Town Pump. Owners of Town Pump, they've stepped up and sponsored this event at a very large level. I cannot help but thank those folks enough. This is a big deal. This is a multi-state symposium. We're going to bring in experts. We're going to talk about new trends, new things that we're seeing, how the cartels are involved, what law enforcement is doing, but what local nonprofits are doing. And that's what's really exciting, Tom, seeing all these nonprofits across the state and across our region who are all taking a little bit different approach on what they can do to either help victims, help law enforcement, you know, provide counseling services, provide housing services to these victims when we get them out, because those victims need a lot of help. So this is a really big deal. I'm really proud of my staff and my team for putting this together. But this is also a pride moment for our state.
Yeah, I recognize that too, and we're going to be covering it. I want to maybe even be there. And I know it's more of a stakeholder kind of event in that regard too, but we're going to be talking about it as well, because I think like what you've said before, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. You could just make Montana spotless, but if your neighboring states still have a problem, you're going to be right back there yourself. So I think that collaboration is huge. And how is that going to work then? We'll put another one on the plate here when it comes to illegal immigration. I think we see how it's all tied together, but it might be hard to separate from a law enforcement standpoint. What does Montana need to do, or how do the states need to respond to the federal call for deportation of illegal immigrants?
Well, this is a really big one, and we've done some great stuff here. I said earlier in the hour, we're now actively talking with the federal government, with ICE, with Customs and Border Patrol. That's a complete culture shift from what we had in the first 4 years of my administration when Joe Biden was in charge. Those agents were under directive not to talk to me, which is just staggering, right?
It is.
But I mean, it's completely changed now. I've had the supervising agent for ICE in my office. Great guy. We've had some great conversations, been productive. State, multi-state and federal task forces are, you know, one of the main tools we have in this fight against illegal immigration. And it's tied directly to the drug problem. I mean, a lot of the cartel drugs are being brought into this state and into this country by illegal immigrants. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. So what can we do at the state level? One of the real issues that we found out ICE was having is they don't have a federal prison or jail or detention facility here in Montana. A lot of times when they're apprehending these individuals, because understand, very often it's my highway patrol that's making first contact with these foreign nationals, these illegal aliens. And we have to be able to take them someplace. The Biden administration had basically passed a rule that said you can't use county jails to hold these people. And they did that very intentionally because they knew in a state like Montana, that would mean functionally we can't hold them anywhere. And so what you had was you had these criminals just being let loose in our state, literally. We are working really hard with ICE, with Director Holman. I'm going to give a shout out to Congressman Zinke. He has been all over this issue. He and I talk about this very regularly. We're trying to fix this problem. We're working with county sheriffs, with county commissions, and getting some space in the local jails, in the county jails, to hold these folks even just for a day or two before ICE can get them to a federal detention facility. The closest federal detention facility we have in the area is in Idaho. And sometimes, you know, with weather and things going on in Montana, we can't always just get those people in the vehicle and get them right to Idaho right now. We need a place to put them for a day or two sometimes. So that's really where we've been focusing our attention, working with local law enforcement, working with local sheriffs.
Thank you for sharing that, too. That's information. Some of it disturbs me, too. But thank you for sharing that. Maybe hopefully we're getting past that. I know you've got to run, and I really appreciate your time here. I want to talk about this Montana Law Enforcement Appreciation Poster Contest. I'll get some details out about it after I let you go here. But one of the things that you get to do is after the winner has been declared, you get to go visit that young person. Talk about that experience. Talk about how you, as Montana's leading law enforcement officer, impart a love or an appreciation for law enforcement amongst our youngsters.
This is a really fun thing that we've started doing since I took office. We do this law enforcement appreciation contest. Kids in elementary school can create a poster, draw us a poster, and submit it, send it into our office, and we're going to pick seven regional winners, right? Because the state's broken into seven different highway patrol districts. We'll pick seven district winners, but then we're going to pick one big statewide winner. And this is where it gets really fun, because it isn't like we just do it here in Helena or come to Billings. 2 years ago, we were in Superior. That was our state winner. We went over and we had an ice cream party with this young fella and his class. He got to jump in the colonel's patrol car, take a ride around town, turn the lights and sirens on around the school, you know, use the loudspeaker and holler at his friends.
Yeah.
last year we were on the other side of the state. We were at Decker. We were down at by the Spring Creek Mine and that little one room school down there. That was our state winner. So we're going to open this up to everybody. But it's a lot of fun. It gives us an opportunity to get out, get around kids, show them that law enforcement is a good thing, have some fun with them, create a positive experience. It's win-win. So it's a lot of fun.
Do kids understand? I think it takes some time. I mean, if I'm looking back at my younger years, I didn't get what law enforcement does and how important it was. Is that the same for kids nowadays?
I think kids seem to get it. I mean, what our experience has always been overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, anytime a guy in a police uniform and a badge wearing a gun walks in and, you know, he's got his taser and his handcuffs and he got all the stuff, every little kid is looking at that and wants to know what's going on. And then to have the colonel, the highway patrol there talking to him and just being a great guy because he is. You know, he's got a mess of his own kids and he's great with the young ones. And it's a lot of fun. And it's a chance for us to make a positive experience for those young people. So when they see that badge, they know, hey, that's a good guy.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good guy. He's one of the good guys. Yeah. I appreciate that. Hey, Austin, thanks for the work you do. Okay. I always appreciate catching up with you, but you know, the work that you do in the meantime is just so vital for us. You got a good heart for it too. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Just doing the job.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. And you do a great job for the state too. So keep it up.
All right. Sure. All right. We'll talk to you down the road too. Okay. And we're tracking some things for Austin as well in terms of what's going on legislatively. So thanks for joining us for the podcast and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.